on this episode of Conversations with Rich Bennett.
And so by having that hand-eye coordination, naturally the enjoyment of the lights and the bells and the bumps and bumpers and things. Yes, instead of going cold, instead of icing a kicker, someone is in that game room for 15 minutes working different parts of their brain to work on their hand-eye coordination and especially their timing. It just takes 1 second to win or lose a battle. And so then they take those not only fresh but advanced skills and go upstairs with the five people they were hanging out with cheering each other on, and now they got buddies. Now they're back on the phone, and now they're really winning rounds.
Coming to you from the Freedom Federal Credit Union Studios, Harford County Living presents Conversations with Rich Bennett.
Come on.
You're faster than me.
Guys.
Hey, yeah,
that was quick.
We've been together.
It's 24 and 13.
Oh, man, you already said it. I was going to ask her if she remembered the date.
Thanks for joining the conversation where we explore the stories and experiences that shape our world. I'm your host, Rich Bennett, and today we're joined by Richard Blank, CEO of Costa Rica's Call Center. Richard's notable background includes a degree in communication in Spanish and a proficiency certificate from the University of Sevilla, Spain. He made a significant career move at 27, relocating to Costa Rica to train over 10,000 bilingual telemarketers. Known for his unique motivational techniques and collection of American pinball machines and antique jukeboxes, Richard integrates gamification into his business culture. He's a respected keynote speaker, a 2023 Business Hall of Fame inductee, and actively supports education through scholarships. All right, 2023 Business Hall of Fame inductee. So you're in now, right?
For my alma mater, Northeast Philadelphia, Abington High School. Yes, I'm in there.
So you're in their Business Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, man. That is awesome.
Well, thank you. Anyone that knows Philadelphia knows old school cool is the greatest thing ever. The fact that I got that sort of respect is incredible. But I have a second language scholarship for a graduating senior that wants to study languages at university level. And I paid forward. I mean, if it weren't for that school and my best friends in the world and just growing up with the greatest people, I don't know if I'd be here today. They really believed in me and got me where I need to be.
So before we get to why you moved to Costa Rica, you know, you're Philly born and raised, right?
Yeah.
So growing up in Philly, when you were going to high school, what was it that you actually wanted to do when you finished high school or college or whatever? Because I know a lot of people they don't do what they wanted to do.
It's an excellent question. That's why you have the best conversations, Rich.
Well, thanks.
All of my friends were either going to college to get into the NFL. I had a few. But most of them were going Ivy League. They were going to be doctors. They were going to be attorneys, architects, engineers. And for me, I didn't have the structure, discipline, maturity, nor the grades. But my favorite class was Spanish. So I decided just to follow my passion so it didn't feel like such a forced march. And if I'm in the best 4 years of my education, I can't be in this box. It would almost feel like a Sunday night pressure. Who the hell needs that? I'm going to college.
Yeah.
And so I found out that the University of Arizona had a wonderful language program that also included a year in Spain. And so I got recommendations from my Spanish teacher and my principal, which offset my grades. But it was tough to compare notes. And my family gave me some pressure. There's career expectations, scholastic expectations. And so what do you do? Yeah. And you're so young. So how do you make such a decision when there's so many paths that are in front of you for you to choose and you're getting pushed? Everyone's got to stop touching me. Let me breathe for a second. And so I decided to die with my boots on. I knew that if I was going to have a hero's journey and leave a castle, I got to do it on my terms. Because if not, I wouldn't have the leverage nor the advantage, because you can have the education, you can have the cash behind you. But if you don't have the passion, the fidelity towards something, You're not going to go the distance. That's not the long play. And so at least at the end of the day, my friend, Rich, I knew I could live with myself if I decided to double, triple, and quadruple down on a second language and just see where that would go. Little did I know that key opened so many doors.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? You're 100% correct there, too, because now you may not know it looking at me now because I don't have the beard. But, yeah, I play Santa in December. A friend of mine does it professionally at the malls, and I found out through him, if he spoke another language, Spanish or whatever, he would get paid even more. When I say more, I'm talking about like buku bucks more. But it's amazing. And I remember when I was back in high school, I didn't take a language. I kicked myself in the ass for that now. But God, if I would have learned Spanish, French, anything. Oh my God, the differences it would have made, especially when I was in the IT field or even selling cars. It's like now I understand why in high school, that's one of the things they always told you to do. You should take another or, you know, learn a second language. And we're seeing it now, especially here, you know, in the United States. You know, because a lot of places you go to, some of the languages you're hearing are either Spanish or not necessarily Chinese. I want to say probably more Korean or Japanese than anything. But if you know, of course, it ain't too late. I guess I could always learn it, you know.
Of course you can.
So, yeah.
I believe that it's just concentrated practice and basic grammar for about 6 months, and then the rest is just vocabulary. But let's be realistic here. Okay, this is why I decided to do this first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, I was very fortunate. I had parents that liked to travel, and so I got a chance to go to Mexico a few times. And enjoying the vacation, I'd come back with about 20 vocabulary words. Now, it wasn't the parlor trick for my parents, or it's kind of cute kind of thing. When I had the opportunity to meet someone from the Latino community, and even though I didn't have advanced grammar, but they saw such passion, I got reinforcement. I got this sort of, not my tap on the head, okay, now go play kind of thing. They're like, hey, kid, I see that you got balance and you enjoy this. And so they would give me an extra word or they would teach me something that would assist. And so it didn't hurt and it didn't go away. And I could do it at a pace, and all the world was a stage. And so I just didn't have to devote a Sunday to something or four nights a week or drive a half an hour. I mean, this is the kind of thing where if I wanted to drink it, it's there. And then I get to certain levels by interning for Telemundo during college. I worked for free. I did promotions and public relations. Check this out. They were so nice to me, Jay Cohen. He hooked me up big time. I got a chance to work with Miguel Quintana. And during the 90s, he was the head news guy at Telemundo in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And a gentleman by the name of Pedro Sevcek, which had a talk show out of Florida. And when they would come to Tucson, our small little Tucson, and I'd hang out with my Telemundo shirt and all. I'm in college at the time, so I'm all buff and I had hair and everything. With my intermediate Spanish. They loved me. I was just hanging around. I was like his sidekick. I was his ace. I was carrying his tennis racket at the one event, you know. But I saw how there was such sincere love that not only the audience had because it's his culture and the language, but the appreciation on and off camera and taking his time and remembering things. And so I learned that if you ever have a position of leverage or of importance or where people gravitate towards you, that might be one in, you know, it could be your 100th time doing it that day, but that's the one in a million for them.
Yeah.
You really take that experience so you could then plant that seed and they can say, hey, Pedro's the nicest guy ever. You don't get 100 new fans. And so the guy had all of them. That worked at Telemundo in Tucson had such class and respect and courtesy. And I also learned about second plates. Oh, yeah. You're supposed to accept a second plate of food, and they're definitely going to invite you. So it goes, yo, Richard, if you're ever in the Latino market and you're invited to eat, you better eat and you better accept their food. And so I might have been a little late or rushing to a second appointment, or I had to make these future appointments a little flexible with some buffer room, because there might be a buffet in that buffer room. Might get fed. And so that was one of the greatest things ever that happened to me post-grad when I was making sales in Southwest Phoenix. I was always getting fed, which I think is the most form of respect between people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love to eat. Oh, my God. You were in Mexico eating good old, you know, that cuisine down there, which is a lot different than what you get up here, isn't it?
Of course it is. And you know, Costa Rica, once again, I mean, every country has their flair and fit and flavor. But here we have exotic fruit. And it's incredible how tasty the fresh seafood is. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's rainforest, so everything's just growing. And so when I go to these farmers market, if you think about it, there is no transportation. It's just an hour away to get there. So it's not like it's
right
on ship and frozen. And so if you want to, my friend, live an exceptionally healthy lifestyle that's really within your budget, you can eat very well here and decrease any sort of ailments that you have, because it is a pura vida lifestyle. It is pure life. It is right. Shedding skin of the old and trying to do the new. You can't bring your baggage here. It's just not going to work. Just by default, you won't fit in.
Yeah.
And so you need to sometimes let go of that weight, Rich, in order to rise, you know?
Actually, Rich, what was it that made you decide to, especially at 27, which is still pretty young, what was it that made you decide to you know, pack up and move to Costa Rica?
Parents' guilt.
Yeah. Really?
If you can get past your parents' guilt, you can live anywhere in the world. You know that expression about the barn door being open?
Yeah.
How many songs and poems and movies have been written about that once in a lifetime? Eminem sings about it, raps about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times do you need someone to smack you in the face six times like a Stooge movie and go, yo, Rich, Richard, Richie, wake up. And so I realized that stars can become aligned. And this wasn't on a whim. I was building up the momentum to this, of dedicating my career for this. And I said, all right, champ, let's see if you can swim with the big boys. Let's go Division One, go abroad and see if you can really do this. Now, I did. Wow. When I was a junior in college, I lived in Spain for a year, which was excellent. And right. I could do a whole different podcast on that experience. But, man, I was prepared. I was ready. I was in my late 20s. I was bold. I was brave. And fortune favors the brave. You know that,
yeah. Right?
And so I wanted to slay a dragon to save a princess and become a freaking prince. And I knew that if I didn't take this, I would regret it for the rest of my life. And so sometimes you have to make selfish decisions, but it's not selfish where you take more pizza. I was being selfish in regards to expectations. I was turning the pyramid around. It wasn't the base, it was the point to the back. Allow me to start this thing, and then we'll see where the balance is and where we go. And so I had to make a lot of those hero journey decisions of going one and doing it myself. And little by little, I shaved some fat. I got some steam behind me. And that's one of the greatest reasons why I was inducted into this Hall of Fame, because it's not from a large donation or playing in the NFL, which I do think is incredible. I was this really interesting zig and zag story that was a second language, that was not an honor student, and just went to the University of Arizona and obviously had the best time for 5 years. And so what do you want from me? I can only be straight up and transparent and let you know it wasn't easy. You got to go 15 rounds and there's a lot of grind to it. And you have to be responsible and mature and have impulse control and stop acting like a child.
Yeah.
And that maybe that was the second answer, Rich, on why it was 27. Because I wasn't ready at 18. It needed to be at this stage of my life to take this in a different stage.
Mm-hmm. But why Costa Rica? Why not somewhere else? What was it that about Costa Rica that just drew you to it?
My cousin was here, and one of my good friends in college had a call center here. And they said, Richie, come down for a couple months and teach English at my center. So I was in between jobs, and I, you know, put my stuff in storage and came here. And I mentioned shedding skin earlier. This is one of those, you mentioned coming of age moments. It's not beating up the bully behind the gym in seventh grade. You can have coming of age moments at any stage of your life. Yeah. And this one, to me, everything seemed brighter and tasted better. And I was in love. I was in love with life. I married the girl of my dreams here. I met her in Costa Rica. We've been together. I met her 6 months in. So think about that.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tropical girl. Rock on. You got to love it. And so it had to be done. It needed to be a painting, Rich. It couldn't be a print. I just couldn't go through that life of just looking like a brick in the wall. I wanted my own painting, and I was willing to go for it. And it's kind of gutsy, but, you know, that's what life's all about.
You got to take risks, you know, because you don't – one of the things you don't want to do is in the future just look and say, wow, maybe I could have done that. No, do it. If it doesn't work out, it's like in the book. Move on to the next chapter, you know?
That's right.
And here you've been here, would you say 20 years?
I've been in Costa Rica for almost 24 years, yeah.
24, all right, so 24 years. Still don't look a day over 27. And here it is, you're the CEO of the Costa Rica's call center.
All right.
And something we talked about before we even started recording, probably one of the most amazing guests I have had on yet because of the things you collect, which just blows me the hell away. Yeah, we were talking before we started recording. Everybody that knows me knows I love music. And I've always wanted an old jukebox. What made you decide to start collecting jukeboxes?
Why wouldn't you? Undoubtedly some of the most beautiful art that could be created. It's furniture. It's an art piece.
Yeah.
And it represents eras. And think about the thousands of people that danced and fell in love in front of them and the records that were played. It's really history.
Stories.
The fact that they're preserved. This beauty behind me is a classic 1961 Ricola Regis. I know your favorite. You love Wurlitzers. I have a 1964.
I love them both.
220. I mean, here's the skinny. You can buy them in mint condition minus a functioning motor. Now, if you get the motor, the price just goes through the roof. But if you want, you can find a beautiful marquee glass keys, the shebang, and just put in a Bluetooth or an MP3. And next thing you know, you'll have both. Eventually, you can fix it. But during that time, you can turn her on. And it looks beautiful in the middle of your living room.
Yeah.
And one man's trash is another man's treasure. And once I started growing my business, had the space, you know, my discretionary income is my income. And so I would go treasure hunting. I would collect pinball machines, jukeboxes, retro arcade machines, air hockey tables. And so gamification is important for me. I like this happy medium. We can let off steam, recharge batteries, make friends. And I've seen it really reduce attrition and allow the people to see me in a different light. I might be your boss, but I'm also the coolest boss. I have a cool game room here with classic machines as old as 1970. They're playing on some old Bally's pinball machines. And it's an experience that virtually does not match. And it's just a great place to hang out instead of having a cigarette or on their phone looking at Instagram.
Do they even make pinball machines anymore?
Sure do. They do. Absolutely.
Oh, they do? Okay. I don't know. I haven't even seen an arcade in God knows how long. I mean, pinball was always my favorite game. I love playing pinball.
If anyone's in Arizona, they're Starfighters. They have over 100 pinball machines there. And so the machines today can, if they're so custom made, they'd be 20 grand if you want. And a lot of them that are known, like Kiss, for an example, or Evel Knievel, or some of these rock bands and stuff like that, they go for top dollar. But if you're looking for a no-name machine from a certain decade of, let's say, the 70s and 80s, they're exceptionally easy to fix compared to the newer ones, which have more computer, more placas, you know, more of the tablets. And for some crazy reason, the old school wiring from the 70s just does not give out. But you also have the beauty.
No, because it's not all those damn computer chips and everything.
Correct. And they last and they're easier to fix. And they really are works of art and they're fun to play. And such open play fields. And if you get the older ones where they painted the wood compared to the laminate or the stickers, you really get a choice part of history. But I love them. I love restoring them. And there are certain places you can buy parts for less than a dollar. And there are professional electricians that can follow manuals. And even though they've never worked on a machine before, can figure it out. And then you just looking over his shoulder, figure that out. So when Billy's not with us, I can lift the machine and twist it. Now she's working again. So it's almost like a free class on how to fix a flipper, how to fix a bumper, how to change a light. When a wire becomes loose, I mean, duct tape goes a long way. I mean, I can almost repair.
Hey, it'll hold a NASCAR together.
These machines can be repaired on the fly, about 70% of them. Yeah. The heavy work you call the guy. But most of the time, you guys can fix the parts there. Oh, but what a passion. And if you ever get a chance, go get a machine. You'll be the most popular cat in the neighborhood.
I think I'm going to have to. Now, actually, what's your favorite one to play?
Now, that's terrible to say because I love them all. at the moment, it's my 1971 Bally's Expressway. Because that is just an incredible game But then again, you know, my newest game is a 1994 Data East Arnold Schwarzenegger Last Action Hero, sitting right next to a Williams NBA Fast Break, which is a 95 or 89 mousing around Bally's machine. You know, these things are incredible. I mean, it just all depends. And it depends on your taste. For me, I like a slower play, and I like open play fields and easier targets, and I love the artwork from the 70s. But, yeah, man, I got them, and I preserve them. And there's a product called Wildcat 125 that you put on the surface as well, which preserves it and lets the ball run faster. Oh. And so you're not going to ruin them. And that's what they need. They need a better home than they're currently in. So go on eBay and buy one and save them.
So is there, I have to ask you this now, Richard. I mean, with the jukeboxes, how many total do you have?
I have six jukeboxes.
Six?
Yes.
And as far as the arcade, I'm just going to say arcade games because it's pinball and everything else. How many of those do you have?
I've converted. I had an Ultimate Fighter and Killer Instinct machine that I put these MAME machines in to give them 10,000 games each. But I do have an Alpine Racer 2 ski machine, which is ironic because we're in.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, man, it's pretty cool. Yeah. And I bought a second monitor and a CPU off of eBay to back it up just in case because it's a beautiful machine. I bought an original machine, which was had a wonderful marquee there. And so I converted her as well. And so more games for people. You know, they just don't want to just play one or Pac-Man. They'd be
bored. Yeah.
And so you got to give them the games. And I've given out so many. I also bought a Dynamo air hockey table, a 96er that I painted Flyers colors. So that's in the training room, which actually I was able to sell my wife on because we don't have furniture there to put the papers, you know, when there's classes and stuff. Just put a top on it, put papers and stuff, whatever. All I know is I needed to find a place in the call center to put a huge air hockey table that wouldn't disturb the second and third floor. So the training room's perfect. That's what you do.
Is there any particular jukebox or game that you want to get that you haven't gotten yet?
That would be a tough call. I guess to me, it would be an original Asteroids machine if I could get one of those.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. So I'd be too. I would probably go super old school like that. Why Asteroids? I mean, there's so many that I love. I mean, you love your Missile Command and Paperboy and Tempest and Tron.
But it was still one of the first, yeah.
I mean, how do you choose? You're insulting the rest. But I do know that Ricky Schroeder had a game room in Silver Spoons, and I was pretty pissed off at that. I said, yo, I want one of those, and so I had to get it.
And his father came around on the train.
I don't need the train. Just give me a pinball and a few machines. But I tell you, they're showing up less and less.
Because you're buying them all.
Yeah, but the ones that you do find are in such bad condition, they're eaten up by termites or they're just so destroyed that if anything, you pull a marquee off and the rest just has to go. But yeah, it is a small market here in Costa Rica. And there's a few collectors, and we all know each other and respect one another. But
So all the ones that you have there, you actually found in Costa Rica.
That is 100% correct. I mean, this one, I got a 1958 Seaberg. I mean, she's a beauty. What do you do? And when you find them in the back of a bodega with boxes on top of them, you want to scream at the guy, but you know he'll probably charge you more. So you keep finding faults in them. No faults you can fix. Light bulb down. It's $2, but I'm going to charge them 20. Come on, man. I'm only kidding. But the point of the matter is they're going to better homes. I believe in electromagnetic energy from people, from energy, from things. And I think that these machines give me energy and they're happy. And I love them.
And you said you have, you said the air hockey table, but are any other jukeboxes or games at the call center as well?
I had to give away a few. All right.
Okay.
I gave away an Area 51, Maximum Hazard game, which is
great.
It's a shooting game. And then I had a police trainer game. And that was fun, another shooting game. And then I also had a Capcom versus Marvel game. Now,
I
also have to be realistic. I'll take a machine, but I bought this from an arcade. So the guy built an actual stand, which is great. It's almost like an Enterprise thing. And it had the largest screen with extra speakers. If you just had one, rock on. Dude, I had four huge machines. And so what do you do? What do you do? You keep them. And you keep trying to find spaces for them. And so little by little, I just kept giving them to people and hoping to have a good home. But what do you do, man?
But I bet the people at the call center loved you, man. Hey, we're going to take a break. Go play air hockey. Go do this. I think it would keep morale up.
Well, that's the guarantee. But what it does, like Willy Wonka, when you walk into the gray building and it looks like it's another job of rowing the slave ship. You walk through an arcade before you go upstairs and make phone calls. You see bells and whistles and happy. You see recess and you see someone that loves me, loves you, and loves this environment. And so through natural selection, when we're bringing people in, because I'm 150 strong, I don't have to bring in thousands. It's those that like the games. It's someone that can turn a piece of paper over rich and give me that coming of age moment in their lives when they beat up a bully or saved a cat. I'm going to hire them. And I love hiring people without experience because they're a squire to a knight. They have no bad habits. We can mold them. Come on. You know all about those Big Brother sort of movies. And so it's very easy for me to build an army of just incredibly cool cats that like to hang out together, work well together, feed off of this energy. This is the greatest filter for me. If you don't think that's cool, you don't belong here. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's just part of our culture and our environment here. You got to boogie-woogie from time to time.
Well, I mean, with... God, some of the places I worked at, I guarantee if they had stuff like that in the break room or whatever, I think number one, it would improve work ethic, especially the way people were working. I think people would look forward to going to work.
Sure.
And it could be fortunate. It could be unfortunate, but some people may not want to leave work as well. But I think they can learn, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think with the games there, and especially being a call center, they could learn a lot from it. Am I correct?
You are so smart. Absolutely. And that's why I really respect the painter, the guitarist, the mechanic, somebody that can do things and work their brain differently because it's everything's art. And so by having that hand-eye coordination, naturally the enjoyment of the lights and the bells and the bumps and bumpers and things. Yes, instead of going cold, instead of icing a kicker, someone is in that game room for 15 minutes working different parts of their brain to work on their hand-eye coordination and especially their timing. It just takes 1 second to win or lose a battle. And so then they take those not only fresh but advanced skills and go upstairs with the five people they were hanging out with cheering each other on, and now they got buddies. Now they're back on the phone, and now they're really winning rounds. And so to answer your question, sure, it reduces stress that people have outside of the office that they bring here that we don't know about, and they need a release. And instead of that cigarette or going to eat four hot dogs, someone could do this, and it allows them to lower temperatures and bring in distractions.
Right.
Because it's not me pulling that answer out of you or standing next to you, breathing down your neck, saying, you like playing games with your boss, right? I've had people come to me and go, yo, ma'am, just like you say, I've stayed an extra bit of time, or I reduced my lunch time to play an extra game, or I've realized that I'm having a great time and I met a few people from other accounts because I was here. And I get it. And I go, finally, someone gets the method of my madness. And I don't care. I'm still willing to dance in the rain. And I'm still
right.
And to do my circles. And I get one shot at this. You and I spoke about the 100 years. We're going to have this run. And if I'm going to do it, I'm not going to be offensive. But by all means, I'm going to create something. I want to put something out there that hopefully people can receive and elevate themselves. And I've been very fortunate to have this journey.
Yeah.
And it's very humbling because I'm a guest in this country, 3,000 miles away from you and my mother. And by showing good faith and exposing vulnerability, which makes you powerful, I showed people my true essence. And I was accepted, and someone fell in love with me and married me. And I've had people work with me over a decade. And I've, by excessive amount of games that a lot of people don't understand where I have the time to be funny or whatever, but guess what? Don't worry about it. And I'm willing to click my heels and have just another wonderful day, my friend. And that's what life's all about. And I don't want people to be too hard on themselves. I think a lot of your focus is natural. It has to be wu-wei. Mm-hmm. It's got to come not from the heart where you have that sort of rocky in you. It's behind you, in you, and forward of you. It's all in one. And that's the most important thing. And for me, my friend, I saw the signs, the tells.
Yeah.
At such an early age that I decided to hold on to the tail of that and see where it took me. And this is why we're here today.
Yeah, people love going to work there, don't they?
You're talking about a call center. Absolutely not. What are you talking about?
I would think.
In all you, honesty, I'm not going to lie. Really, they love it. Oh, no.
I was going to say, I would think.
No,
from my time in the IT field working help desk, if you were there, and you were, I would love going to work
let's
every
call
day.
A spade, let's call it as it is. Let's have black and white balls and strikes. This vocation pays more than most. I'm willing to do something, stand on my feet compared to sit down if I can earn triple. And there are individuals that are getting a return on investment from their university education. And I think that's incredible. Do they have a slight accent? Sure they do, but it bears the mark of higher education. It's a beauty mark. Look at Ricardo Montalban from Fantasy Island. Mm. That was the man. And so do they like it? Do they like it when someone is calling frustrated and you're trying to retain a client because their shipping didn't come on time? Or someone's trying to hammer you down on a commission, or they're rushing you on the phone? Or just inadvertently, they just say F you because they're having a bad Wednesday. I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
So these people from time to time take a hard one in the chin. It's not like you're working at a chocolate store. It smells good and tastes good. It's not like Disney. A call center environment, if you have the soft skills, can elevate you with such incredible conversation, interpersonal skills, where you will make more money, have more friends, have better conflict management skills. If people are coming at you, it would be much more diplomatic and strategic, kind of like generals of armies and Marine leaders and individuals that know the right thing to say at the right time to diffuse situations, reset tones. So I'm working amongst linguists and specialists that expand on their vocabulary to prolong conversations, reduce any sort of rabbit holes. And, you know, like the word help, we'll replace it with guide, assist, lend a hand, not excuse me for my clarification. We use military alphabet, things like that, simple things to reduce conflict. But do they like it? Well, kind of like me, I did it. And not only did I not get destroyed, I thrived like Gladiator. And then I became my own, you know, warrior king of call center when I should have been burnt out or just hated it and Glengarry Glen Rossed it. But I said, listen, I'm going to do this differently. If I ever get a chance of leverage and being a leader, I'm going to have the structure and discipline to get you there. But instead of salt, I'm going to use sugar, but also recess, because that was the best until sixth grade. And I'm definitely going to put game, fun, play, laugh, reducing barriers, showing certain sides of you. When you see a puppy, people change their voices. Well, let me see how you laugh when you're playing a game. Let me see a giggle. So we can tease each other and then make super good friends. And then everybody is really cool, like it was back in the day. And that's why it works.
I love it. I love it. Let's take a little break here so I can tell you about my friends over at Four Seasons Landscape and Construction Services. And when it comes to lawn maintenance and lawn renovations, they are definitely the go-to people, even snow removal services. But something else that a lot of people don't think about that's very important that they do, stormwater maintenance, whether it's a pond clean out, remove overgrowth of woody ornamentals, debris, trash, and even drainage services. You know, if you have a cracked foundation, they can rerun your downspouts, French drains, proper grading. There's so much that goes in to stormwater maintenance and the proper drainage in your yard, and a lot of people don't know how to do it. You don't want it to run into the bay. You don't want it to run towards your foundation. You need the professionals to take care of it. And the professionals are Four Seasons Landscape and Construction Services. Give them a call today, 443-390-YARD. That's 443-390-YARD, 9273. Or go to their website, FourSeasonsLandscapeMD.com. Again, that's FourSeasonsLandscapeMD.com. They're giving you sustainable landscapes for the future, and they are the ones that get your yard looking beautiful. With the call center.
Yeah.
Because this just fascinates me. And I've never talked to somebody that is a collector like you. I've never talked to anybody from a call center.
Okay.
But like I said, I've worked a help desk before in the IT field, and I know, and it seems like I even had, when I went in for the interview, they told me one of the reasons they wanted me was to diffuse a lot of the problems, because I just had a way of, I guess, talking to people without threatening them. I don't know. Who knows? to groom them, because you're going to get yelled at, but you got to figure out how to. And I give my wife credit because she still does it. She works for the state and she gets calls all the time.
Yeah.
You got to learn how to diffuse the problem.
Yes.
Because for those of you that call centers, I want you to listen to this very carefully. When you call and you're yelling at somebody trying to get something resolved, chances are you're not going to get it resolved. If you talk to them like a human being and explain it to them, you're going to get it. And correct me if I'm wrong, Richard, but you're going to get it resolved a lot quicker, because you're talking to them like a human being, not like somebody that's, you know, lower than you. I've always said this. There's only two people that I only allowed to yell at me. Well, three people, my mother and my father. I would count them as one of my parents and my drill instructor when I was in basic training. Mm-hmm. That's it. Nobody else, no. You don't have the right to yell at me. So, yeah, when I worked at, yeah, I would, you know, you learn to diffuse the problem. And if you're quick at it, you're going to resolve it a lot faster.
Well, simplify, my friend. And I've also realized that there's three different types of fighting. I can punch, I can block, or I can sway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sway. I'm going to do the Ali. I'm going to let you gas out, because if you hang up, it's done. I'm not going to let you cross certain lines where you're saying F you to my mother.
Right.
That's a warning and a hang up. And let's that. Come on. No one needs that. But let's just say someone is yelling and they're interrupting. We hold on because you're thinking you're losing and they're not getting something. Let me tell you how a CEO of a call center thinks about this. Depending on the situation, if it's a brand new client, existing client, referral, who knows? But let's just say it's somebody. If they don't cross the line, they gas out, you're down one, two, three spaces, okay, whatever. That's when you're going to gain back 20, because they're going to feel so ashamed of how they spoke to you because you kept your composure, okay? You're not going to get her from a minus five to a zero to a plus five. That's going to take some time,
right,
chisel. But let's stop, drop, and roll for a second. Richard, let you gas out. No more ammo. You're tired. You've been running up hills. Let you do you. Why me do me? Just sway.
Yeah.
Sway, sway, sway. And take note.
I like that.
Sway and take notes. Sway and take notes. Then they calm down. In my experience, 6 out of 10, they'll apologize then. They'll usually do it later. You'll probably get about 2% that just will never do it. But you'll get something there. So now you're at zero again. They just evened out. They have no points with you yet. They evened out. They got it. They got a mulligan. So then you, knowing this because they showed that you first say, thank you for bringing this to my attention. I understand your position, Richard. Allow me a moment to make things right. Now, I'm taking you. And then I get the confirmation from you. You might get the apology there. Huh? Still got a 30% right, holding out on you. Well, that's good. They'll calm down in a minute. And the next thing you know, kind of like a parent, that you expect the smack or the scolding actually cleans the milk. Or like your buddy in a bar. You pay the bill, you clean his spill, and you get the hell out of there so you can go back again. And you don't lose face. So now, if you can accomplish this of not letting them lose face, establishing, putting boundaries in your tone, and we don't have the time to go over everything now, but I think that there are transitional sentences about saying, so you said 1, 2, 3, is that correct? Yes, thank you, Richard. Now the next question is you can confirm the rest, because I don't want to hear 1, 2, 3 anymore. We're done with 1, 2, 3, Richard, because you've acknowledged it. Now we bridge to the next island. There are checkpoints you can use. I believe that using people's names are the checkpoints of the end and the beginning of islands. Does that make sense, Richard? Sounds good, right, Richard? And then in the middle of sentences, I like to say your, are, so I can spike and trigger word the personal pronoun to get your attention in for the shot. That's what you do sight unseen with people. And this will reduce any sort of repetition. You're checkpointing, you're slicing and dicing and looking at your clicks. And you think, well, Richard, what about a 10-minute conversation? That's a great question, Rich Bennett. But I don't see it as 10 minutes. I see it as 20, 30-second conversations. You and I got to go right over here. That ain't in one jump. And you know perfectly well, you've gone at a snail's pace sometimes when you've had to cross grounds and look for double check things and make sure you're all right. You have such a system and such a structure that it needs to be repeated, not only for you to survive, but for you to win, because it's been considered superior. And I'm not saying that we're manipulating conversations, but my goodness gracious, a lighter bag to bring to the front door is much better than bulking it. And I'd rather take a breath, a bite, a sip, and I'd rather not exhaust my entire magazine on you. And I think if I can bob and weave and get a reception from you, I can keep readjusting and move things forward. And so scream at me all day long. And then you're going to wonder why at the end of the month, my friend, that I have 44 sales and you only have 12. Because I will take those calls, because those are the ones that are then at the end of the day are going to call their friends that they play bridge with and go, I yelled at this young man and he didn't hang up and I felt bad. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, Betty, Judy, and Sally are calling and go, I heard you were on with Carol. And instead of you saying she yelled at me, go, Carol's the nicest ever. Now you're giving her a positive escalation and now everyone really loves you. And the next thing you know, you're getting a cake at Christmas and you saw that as a negative. While Richard Blank would be the first one to volunteer to take that call, I'd push you out of the way to get on that call. I'd say, hey, young buck, sit next to me for a second. I'm going to show you my wheelhouse and take you to school. Yeah, but we're only supposed to be on the call for 6 minutes. This one might take 10. But I'm going to show you how I'm going to get five more people out of it. I'm going to retain this client. And she's going to call my manager later today and tell Johnny that Richard saved the account and is the greatest person you ever have. Next thing you know, I'm getting pizza. And so you do this on every call because she's frustrated. Something happened. You didn't do it. But you're the one that can give a smile and a hug and make things right. And then you wonder why you get promoted to supervisor, manager, and trainer. But be careful on those things, my friend. And I learned that from the movie Starship Troopers. The sergeant should have always been a private. Not that he wasn't an incredible individual, but obviously an incredible warrior. And so you kept him on the sidelines. He needed to be there to capture the monster. You're better off by having this individual with a group so they can see the light of the candle and then expand from that. The flame and move to others.
Right.
Compared to one person trying to train thousands, that will never work. And you will take the fight out of that lion. Terrible. They got to where they were because they were there, like Chesty with their people. You can't take them away. They need to be with their people. And my way is not sitting on the phone with them. My way is when they're downstairs having chow with them or being in the game room with them. I don't want to disturb them upstairs except to compliment them on ripping the phone.
Right.
You see my passion, my brother. This is what got me to where I am today. Come on, man. This is the gas in my go-go car.
I have to ask you this because I know you – well, of course you train everybody there, but do you actually go to other call centers and train people or has other – businesses called you to come and train their call center to people in their call centers.
I've had that a few times, but people are very delicate with their own environments. They think that they have shiny secrets or something, or they have their top guy, their starting quarterback, big man on campus. And I can't go into that call center and disrupt Billy. I mean, all people look up to him. The next thing you know, I'm teaching him certain things that he's quoting from Glengarry Glen Ross and Boiler Room. I could talk about the buffer boomerang technique and phonetic micro expression reading to really break down how to do these calls. And so I'm not here to flash or to put somebody down. I see people as colleagues and that like to collaborate. And if anybody's willing to pick up a phone and make a call with good intentions, I'm cool with that. I do not respect the environment that does a scam, like a sweepstakes scam or things like that. And so it's interesting. It's like the villain, you know, they, as they say in Dr. No, the villain needs to be twice as smart. Well, then you could use that power for good. And I know that you're intelligent and you're the mastermind and you're a criminal and people think that's cool. And that, I guess, in some certain genres, but you're talking about a skill set. And if people are getting on the phone, they could really be making a difference in people's lives in a positive way. But they're enticed by money. And I can't hold somebody back if they work in a certain shop that can pay them $10,000 a month in Costa Rica. That's a king's ransom.
Right.
And what disappoints me, you can always earn a dollar, but where people will sell their soul for that. And you see their potential and they're really nice kids. It could be from a good family or just really good, you know, little Skippy's nice kid. But you see they're running with the bad crowd and they compromise their ethics. And that's not a long-term play. You have to look at yourself in the mirror one day. And what happens if you make millions in something else? How are you going to look back on your life during that period of time and realize that you swindled? Mm. It's just, so the money that you make in the future, you'll never make it right. And that's why we're very selective of the campaigns that come in here. It's very interesting, right, the calls that I get. Some people say, well, if you're the greatest, how come you just don't work straight commission? I don't know, Bob. Maybe because you only have 100 leads and that's not enough to make phone calls for a whole month. How am I going to make money off of this thing? You got to give me something to get to the beach, you know? But you're supposed to be the greatest, just like you, Bob. And so I don't take it personal. I think that being a consultant is great, where I can talk about their script, their infrastructure, their resources, the metrics. Maybe I might have a vertical that's similar so I can give advice. I don't like forcing hands. People right. must feel comfortable doing this. And it's not too complicated. It's just virtual. I mean, do you really need someone sitting next to you in an office? That's why I'm okay with the competition. I know that the mm-hmm. Philippines and India are a fraction of my cost, and I'll tell you, I lose the majority of my potential accounts on price, not on merit. But when there are certain metrics, for an example, if it's inbound support and you need to be on the phone for a certain amount, I can't double the amount of calls there. But if you're talking about an outbound prospecting, lead gen or a converting call or retention, maybe a certain soft skill, I am able to do double, triple, or quadruple than that individual there that's just carpet bombing. So I try to give certain metrics on what I can produce, and maybe just a certain skill set and get you in the cave a little bit further. But that's not the point. The point is, if somebody can make a phone call better than my people, they're more glib, mm-hmm. they can retain them, they can convert them, by all means, they earn the account. You can't spin this. These are artists of speech, and it's my favorite art. I respect these public speakers. And so that's why when you go to these centers, you do see their guy and you see him wielding his sword and his training and his scripts. And are they fantastic? Sometimes, but I also, it's not the trainer that's giving. Sometimes the soldier needs to receive to give the 100%. There might be right. some things you got to take out of that backpack that I don't need on this. Seriously, it's only going to slow me down. And so I think that you sometimes need to reduce a script in order to allow the anchoring. You need to have that marine admiration, right? And yeah. I need to talk about the dog in the background and ask you the breed and how old is your puppy and its name. And then you wonder why you put the dog outside, come back, and it's another time we bond. So if you want to stretch me on 10 minutes, it might go 12 minutes. I just look at the end of the day results. And even if it's not the best day for you, but you were experimenting that day, okay?
Right.
By asking an additional question, by bringing the wife in to have two people there to try to talk about the dog, I'm more than cool with that. And so this is an individual that is really willing to take in coaching and can be that squire and not just go through the motions. Be more lucid, my friend, more observant on these calls. And if you do, I think they find it much more fulfilling, and they might enjoy coming to work more. Why right. is a stretch? Unless you're a rock star or something super cool, man. Don't you dare tell me that these people are literally are pushing at each other.
All right, Richard, when's the book coming out?
It's a children's
book. You have to write a book.
I'm going to write children's books.
Whoa. Hello.
Yep. And it's going to revolve around Rube Goldberg experiments and mini golf.
Huh?
You remember like Mousetrap, the game, you know, non-electric.
Yeah.
I want things to do on rainy days or where you can't, you know, get a code, crack a code on a computer. I like when things are literally physical in front of you and your houses are a plethora of things to build a mini golf course. And yeah, I'm going to help people do this. And we're going to have an online environment where people are just going to show you what to do. And little by little, you're going to have the greatest Saturday ever. And so we were going to play mini golf.
I could go for a game of mini golf. You just floored me there. He's like, oh, yeah, I want to write children's books. Huh?
Yeah, what am I going to be writing books about law firms and things? You got to be kidding me.
No, I mean, all your knowledge, because you're also a keynote speaker, right?
Yes.
So all your knowledge, there's so much. And granted, what you've been doing is helping with the call center.
Right.
But just your, I guess, your, I don't want to say it's your philosophy on life, but everything that you're doing, everything that you have talked about could actually help people in other types of business, and not just business either. I want to say self-improvement as well.
It might save a marriage or a Thanksgiving dinner if people calm down for a second and give people, as you say, a little space to vent. As I mentioned about vulnerability, if somebody is emotional with you, I think that's a wonderful thing because they care enough to express. The worst thing is to be ignored and not loved. And even if it's a stranger that's calling you, it's still a connection between two people. And as I mentioned before, some of the greatest clients you could ever have and some of the greatest drill instructors you could ever have are the ones that shouted the loudest, maybe cursed the most. But they all prepared you to take it and to grow from that, where you could choose your battles wisely. And I'm not willing to fall on that sword if you're just yelling. Of course, you're pissed off the package didn't show up yet. Of course, I'd be angry too. Your mom's at the house. I hear her in the background. I mean, these are certain things you can use later in the call to anchor and to show respect. And my mother would be upset too. You heard my mom in the background. I did, Joanne, in the beginning. But I just wanted to let you tell me your ideas first before we talk about your mother. That's so sweet of you, Richard. Would you like to bring your mother on the call? She would like to come on the call. Absolutely, get your mother on the call right now. And so you wonder why Billy's behind you with coffee breath saying, hey, you're on the call for 8 minutes. If he ever tries to interrupt your groove, when you're speaking to the mother of a client on a call, and then you tell the mother how sweet their daughter, it's a wonderful.
Yeah.
You don't kid yourself. I mean, go to that board and ring that bell after that call. And I say, what happened, Richard? Go listen to that call. I have people tell me I'm the greatest ever and apologize like 50 times. And so negatives can always be turned into positives because my bubble is always positive. And if I have more fire than you have your ice, it will win eventually. It will win. I'm not saying it's not a good opponent, and I'm not saying they're not going to crack me a couple times on the chin, but I'm not going to drop. There is that sort of thing that once your legs give out and your arms do drop, I don't know what the hell is in people, but they get off of these mountains and cross deserts and oceans. There is a certain thing that is in you that is not even physical anymore that somehow pushes you forward. And for me, that's never stopped. And it's a nice thing to have that sort of anticipation of the beauty of life and good things to come. Even if I don't make $100 today, I had a wonderful day. and that's the most important thing for people. You shouldn't judge yourself on how much money you make on a single day. The most important thing is that you paid it forward in a certain aspect and that you ate well and that you did some sort of exercise so you can continue to feel good with your body and do something there and just find your balance, man. And if you can do that, then it'll be work out.
Speaking of paying it forward, when I read your introduction, there was something in there about scholarships. You offer scholarships?
Just for my alma mater.
I got the business thought.
Just for a graduating senior for college. Yes, I'll pay for their freshman.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, you're talking about University of Arizona?
Oh, no, Abington Senior High School. Since I graduated there and I was a Spanish major, I went back and I said, if any kid's willing to learn a second language and really learn it, I'm definitely going to pay for their books. And so, yeah, do that.
So you're still giving back to your local community, to your community where you grew up
every year. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Why because not everybody does that. Yeah.
These are my favorite people in the world. I loved my youth. Now, listen, I'm not wearing my Letterman's jacket and pretending like I'm 17, but I'm also realistic. I believe in nature and nurture. I was born there, but I had the chance to grow up there with these individuals and some of the best people I've ever met in my entire life.
How often do you get back home?
I try to get back at least once a year.
Okay.
And I stay in the suburbs and I go around Jenkintown where they film the Goldbergs. I grew up around there too.
Oh, wow.
I grew up in Rydal. And I walk around the town and I go to the Willow Grove Mall and I go to the high school. And why? Because I like the sights and the smells and I like the feel. And I like to dip in and dip out because it feels great. Because back in the day when we used to go on vacation to places exotic and then we'd fly back to Philadelphia and it was cold and rainy, you know, and you're looking at, you know, the tankers on the water, you're like, oh, man. But now, since I live in paradise, when I go back to Philadelphia, I'll go any time of the year. It's the best. You know, I love to check it out. But I have pride. I love being proud of where I come from. And I love being humble. And I love letting people know that if it weren't for you kind of things. And I don't know. It's just this something where the circle becomes complete. I'm not a child anymore, but it gives me a chance as an adult to show homage and to show a certain sort of respect to my grandparents, parents, and community that raised me. And so, yeah, my man, that is something that I do that makes me very happy.
That's awesome. That is awesome. It's I love it when people give back, you know, to their, especially where they grew up from, and even go back and visit.
Oh, yeah.
I think, in all honesty, if you haven't thought about doing this, I think it could be a good idea starting a podcast for the call center about, you know, just telling stories, because I think there's a lot of good stories. Well, you know, there are. There's a lot of good stories to tell from the calls coming in at a call center.
That's right.
It's like watching the old Dragnet show.
We try to keep it family friendly, you know. I don't want to really share some of those X-rated calls that come in. Those are the ones that concern me the most. I know the agents are professional, but I've seen that random bullet, that random weird call that breaks them. I don't know where it comes from. But it does. And so, you know, these calls, you have to be very careful about whom you put where. I believe in right bus, right seat. Mm-hmm. There are certain individuals that can take it a little bit harder than others, and others that are able to do things that are non-voice or omni-channel compared to doing that more assertive sort of phone calls and interactions. And so I don't want to force a fit, because that also increases attrition. People will quit on something like that.
Right. All right, so what type of business is your ideal client for your call center?
Someone that is exceptionally open-minded.
So it doesn't matter whether it's small business, big business?
I like communication, and no surprises. Okay. If someone is responding to me in a latent manner, then it's difficult to make certain decisions. I also don't like overzealous supervisors that like to write you in capital letters and curse, or just try to bring some Philly, Chicago, New York culture, thinking that it works here. And it's a delicate combination, and I want to make sure that I can win. It's more about fulfilling your needs. Listen, here's the beauty of it. As much as I want the business, Rich, I don't need to beg, borrow, or steal to get it. Mm-hmm. And I don't need your 5 seats, 20 seats, or 100 seats to pay my lights. So I don't want to make that clear with people, but I also stand my ground firm.
Right.
And so in the beginning, it's really about raking just to see if there's things that come up. And not only when things come up, I always judge, and you know this as well as a proud Marine, is character during chaos. And this is the first test to see if I push back or if I question something or I ask for clarification because your list is only 300 numbers. How the hell are we going to work for 6 months? And so I try to do certain things diplomatically and strategically to not offend, but to show that, once again, this is my wheelhouse and I'd love to share a $1 million bit of advice with you today. Just allow me to. Talk to me. Stop hiding this script that's not working for you and blaming the 7 other call centers that you don't work with anymore. So how the hell am I going to be lucky number 8? And you're coming at me with, you know, pissed off and angry. And so that's when I ask certain questions about metrics. Did you have quality assurance? Did you grade the calls? Do you have access to the calls? Did you have access to the dialer? Who did the training? Who did the onboarding? Who did the monitoring? What, you're angry 6 months later? Nicely done. Mm. Well, listen, it's not hitting the ball and dragging Johnny. You got to pace it with me. And if this thing's going to work, it's not about me and you. It's about the 10 people we just hired. We don't show them that we are proper leaders. You'll get a mutiny on the bounty. And that's not what we're looking for. I want soldiers that are going to be a band of brothers and go the distance. Not only go the distance, be future leaders. So the next time I see them, they're promoted. That's the sort of thing I look for. I'm the trunk. I want branches and roots. I want to delegate. And it's as simple as getting water on time, waking up on time, shining shoes, gun at the ready, eating your chow. I don't know. But these are the first downs to get your touchdowns. And don't kid yourself. Not only do your sergeants look at this, but your fellow soldiers and Marines are looking at this. Yeah. If you're keeping pace and if you're taking this serious and respecting the circle and the sanctity of what we're doing right now, because this is my castle, this is my future, and I want to build you up. And we have cancers, we have jumpers, and as much as you respect the mercenary for their skill set, they're also exceptionally dangerous and they're not loyal. And you have to be careful on that too. And so these are the sort of things that come and go. And me, I have to choose accordingly. And there are wounded warriors. There are people out there that repent, or they realize that they'd rather do something good, or they all of a sudden have children. And their wife is making them go to church. And they have daughters, and they have to look at them in the eyes. And so they're willing to earn a lot less than what they were doing before to do the right thing and to pay their taxes and to start trying to build a life. And you hear these stories from time to time. And you have to be empathetic for the people. And if you show that sort of sincerity, what happens is, like the call that you had mentioned earlier, you might think we go back 2 steps, but now not only are we 9 steps forward, but this man just cried in my office for 20 minutes. He's not going anywhere. I didn't disrespect him at all. And this is a guy that's going to be with me for the next 5 years because I was real with him. And you get tested. Mm. And hopefully you make the right decisions. Just extend empathy to the people, please. Right. And do not reduce their dignity. And if you do that, you'll have some of the greatest people working with you.
So if people need your services or just want to, you know, get in contact with you about finding out more about jukeboxes or pinball machines, How do they get in touch with you?
They need to buy a ticket and fly down to the Central America paradise, Costa Rica. Oh, yeah. And also, I have a very large Facebook fan page. So when this goes live, we have 126,000 people there. You're going to get a ton of new fans in Central America. And real quick for your audience, we are north of Panama and south of Nicaragua. Costa Rica is the only democratic society in Central America, so there's no standing army here. They put all of that money back into education, so we have a 95% literacy rate. You want to hear my competition?
Wow.
Listen to this. You got Amazon, HP, Intel, and Oracle. They're here. Okay? And so we have the best infrastructure. And people come here for eco and medical tourism. But I can't thank you enough. I had the best time, and I hope I was able to share some ideas with your audience.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, God, I need to come to Costa Rica now. I mean,
We can do the second podcast here, Richie boy. Get down here.
Richard, you know, I would in a heartbeat. I'll let you know after February. I'm flying in February for the first time since 95 or 96. Really? So.
Well, I tell you what, my friend. I have so many suggestions to make that instead of going footloose, fancy free, and like a drunken soldier, where you're counting hundies on the corner, right? We can make this exceptionally economical, and I can custom make it for you. So you'll let me know what sort of side projects you like, zip lining, you know, the quadriciclos, horseback riding, the waterfalls, surfing, massages on the beach. I don't know what you want to do. You let me know what you want to do, and I'll definitely give you a VIP trip. I'll definitely make this thing perfect for you.
You're on. I will definitely get in touch with you.
My man.
One last question for you. I love to ask everybody this. And I don't even know if have you been on a lot of interviews?
Pushing about 200 so far.
Really? Yeah. Oh, good. Then this question is perfect. out of all the interviews you've had, is there anything that a host has never asked you that you wish they would have asked you? And if so, what would be that question? What would be your answer?
What my favorite food is.
I can't believe I didn't ask that. Holy crap. Yeah, that's usually what the question
to ask. You might as well ask my favorite color. But no one's ever asked on a single podcast yet my favorite food. They talk about the food in Costa Rica and other things. But just in regards to my own bio, they've never asked.
What is your favorite food?
You're never going to guess.
Philly cheesesteak.
That's in the top five, but calm down, my friend. I'm going to give you a hint first, let you guess, and then I'll tell you. Do you eat sushi?
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. What do you think is one of the most exotic things on that menu?
On a sushi menu? Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Puffer fish?
Very close. And that's a great answer, by the way.
I've had that in Japan, as I said that.
And you know what? That's actually probably the most correct answer. I like uni with quail's egg. Yeah, the sea urchin.
Uni?
Uni with quail's
egg. Oh, really?
Wicked good. Oh, man.
Wow.
It's so tough to find. And if I can find it, I'm pretty much eating it the whole night. I love it. I'll take it any way they want to give it to me. If it's super fresh, right out of that bamboo box. It is literally one of the delicious things you could ever eat, my friend. And eat it slowly. You can gulp it down and that's fine. But the texture and the flavor is so unique and delicious that like a whole, let's say, roll that you have, you could do it in certain bites and still get the same sort of effect because it just blasts you. It's like Pop Rocks. Remember back in the day when you tried that?
Oh, God, yes.
Not saying it tastes like Pop Rocks, but you know you're on to something. When you try uni with quail's egg, you're on to something. It's a definite meal.
I've never heard of that. Now I'm going to have to figure out where I can find this. Probably only in Costa Rica, right?
I can't get it down here. Last time I got it was in Dallas, Texas. I go to every sushi place.
Really?
I never got it. Very rare. I always ask. Very rare. Mm-hmm.
Well, now I'm on another.
But when you get it, you will always order it. Like I do when I go to Dim Sum. I get like chicken feet. Patas de pollo now. I did it as a joke like a year ago with my favorite client when he was in town. I love this.
I was going to say, I heard that's very good.
It is as tasty as the day is long. And so from time to time, I'll have something that's every time I'm going to hit it up now. Absolutely.
Richard, thanks a lot, man. It's been a true pleasure.
Pleasure was mine.
I want to thank my guests for coming on this episode, but I really want to thank you for listening. And I would really appreciate it if you left a review about the show or about this episode. And you can actually do that right from the website. Go to conversationswithrichbennett.com. You can leave a comment about this episode. You can leave a review for the podcast in general. Another thing I would love for you to do,
Of course, follow us on social media. But send me a voicemail. If there is somebody you want me to get on the show, if you want to come on the show, if there is something you would like for us to discuss, send a voicemail or send an email. If you send a voicemail, if you want, I can actually play it back on the show too. So just saying. But no, seriously, I want to thank you for listening, because if it wasn't for you, the podcast wouldn't be as successful as it is. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much. Celebrating 10 years, and there's a lot of good things going on this year with Rage Against Addiction. So I am sitting here with Wendy, the executive director, the founder of Rage Against Addiction. And we have something big coming up this year. The Memory Walk, was it the Memory Walk 5K?
It's Memory Walk Recovery Run. It's Rage Against Addiction's Memory Walk Recovery Run 2024. This is our biggest fundraiser of the year. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and our mission is to provide awareness and support to anyone that struggles from drug and or alcohol abuse. And this event brings together a large variety of people, those who have lost loved ones to the disease of addiction, and also we celebrate those in recovery. So this 5K is a run, and we have a lot of runners who are running to support recovery. We have runners that run in memory of a loved one that is no longer with us. And then we have a really large group of family members that come out, bring photos of their loved ones, and just celebrate them and just try to bring some awareness to the disease. This supports our programs. We have sober living houses in Bel Air, Maryland for women. And we also have some other programs that support new moms in recovery. We support kids by being a resource broker. And we've done some funding throughout the years to help people get into sober living. So this is a big deal for us. This is the event that brings a lot of awareness to the community. It brings awareness to all that we're doing. And like Rich said, it's our 10th anniversary. So we really want to let you know that we're here to stay. And the reason that we're doing what we're doing so well is because of all of the support in the community. And so we welcome you to join us. You can also join us virtually through the entire month of April. April 1st through the 30th, we have a virtual event. And then the 13th is our actual in-person event at Cedar Lane Regional Park in Bel Air. You can register through our website, which is www.rageagainstaddiction.org. You can find all your info there. It'll take you to run sign up. You can create a team. You can do some independent fundraising with your family in memory of your loved one. And we also welcome sponsors. Sponsors get a place on our website. Your logos will go there. We give a shout out at the event. We're going to have some speakers from our alumni, which is really what's near and dear to my heart. And again, it's, you know, it brings us all together, and we hope that you can be there.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, the run is a 5K, but you can also walk it, which is what, 1 mile?
We have a route that goes around Cedar Lane Regional Park. They have a path. And when you do the 5K, you do 2 laps. Our walkers tend to do 1. So it's like half, you know, it's probably like, it's probably like a mile and a little.
Yeah, I could do the walk.
You don't have to be here to participate. And we encourage that because we know that no family is immune, and addiction, unfortunately, isn't going away. And we have a new up and coming generation that was plagued by COVID, and we're seeing the youth population really struggle. And, you know, we want to make sure that they continue to have the resources that they need.
So again, they go to rageagainstaddiction.org to sign up.
Yes. Under events.
Or to become a sponsor as well.
Oh yes. Please, 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 please sponsor.